From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Welcome to the Confused Room Podcast. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Thank you for joining us. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on. Of course, you can check out our website, confusedroom.com. Check out all the stuff we talk about, all the visuals of the stuff we're talking about. Today, we got a lot of visuals on this show, but a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about as well. But if you want to see the designs, all that stuff, it's on the website, confusedroom.com. So, go there, check it out, binge away, just sit there, scroll, stare, drool, kind of like Jenny does sometimes when she's looking at various project pictures.
I'm doing research.
Yeah.
I'm fully engrossed in research.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I have seen this like a little bit, just kind of.
I don't drool. I don't even drool in my sleep.
Going down the side of your.
No.
It's like, Jenny? And she's like, Jenny. Jenny! And I shake you, and then. What?
That doesn't happen.
What are you looking at? Bathroom pictures. That's.
That's just. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, you can insert it.
That's gross.
Bedroom pic.
Oh, that's, good. Oh, that can that's get even worse.
Oh, God. Dumpster picture. I don't know.
Time to drink.
So anyway, welcome to the program, everyone. Tonight, our creative juice comes into us from Francis Coppola. It is their Chardonnay of their Diamond Collection. It's the 2016 Pavilion Chardonnay out of the Santa Barbara and Sonoma counties. I don't think I've ever had any of their Diamond Collection before. I've had Coppola stuff before, but I've never had. People like collect these bottles. It's a thing.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I mean, it's a wine collector thing. I'm not a wine collector.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like a sought after thing, and it comes with this nifty little, you know.
Well, it looks like somebody did that by hand.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, this is neat. It is. Pretty. So it's good stuff. Coppola, good Chardonnay. We just opened it up here just a few minutes ago, and it's tasty.
It's very
I like
good.
It. Very yes. refreshing. It's.
We chilled it. Do you have to serve a Chardonnay chilled, or is that just a preference?
That would be the appropriate way to do it.
Okay.
The same way where you do a red, you know, just slightly above room temperature, okay. Not chilled, but, you know, a little bit. But it's really, you know, at this day and age, everybody has their personal preference in how they want to drink anything. So it's whatever you like.
Okay.
I like mine chilled. That's just me, and that's, I think, how most of it has been forever. But, you know, You sometimes like your white wines not chilled.
Sometimes. Yeah. I think it just depends.
On what it is?
That or, you know, what the weather's like. I don't know.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you guys for being our creative juice for the evening. So the dilemma here with the laundry room that we're talking about, I'll let you expound upon that because, you know, I go in there, I get my shoes, I get my keys. If it's winter, I have a jacket hung up in there or a sweatshirt or something. But you do most of the laundry in our household.
Yeah, that's one of the tasks that I just kind of do. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
I mean, you do most of the cooking, so it's even.
Yeah.
But I found that I was so excited when we bought this house because it had a dedicated laundry room. Because our last house, it was the pass through to get to the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And we parked in the garage. So we came in and out through there and it got cluttered and messy. And I was like, yes, this is a room in itself and it's just for laundry. But it's right by our garage. So mm-hmm. I thought, oh, well, I have a wall in here that I could turn into like a mud room, you know, with mm-hmm. hooks and shiplap. And I was so excited. And that was one of the first projects we did when we moved in. Then after about 6 months of living here, I realized we never come in through the garage. We always come in through the front door because we never park in the garage.
Yeah.
Because the weather's warm enough here, even in the winter. I mean, sometimes you have to pull it in for hail or if you know an ice storm's coming.
That's about it.
But we don't park, get out of the car, come in through the garage. So my mud room has been a catastrophe in the fact that it's a pile of crap that gets in my way. It cuts my space in half as far as what I have to work with doing everybody's laundry in there. But also, it is a bottleneck in the morning with two little girls, myself and you, all trying to get our shit and get out of the way before we go our separate ways in the morning. And if there's going to be a fight in the morning, it's going to be in the laundry room because somebody got in somebody's way or somebody can't find their shoe. So it has to change. I found a solution for the mudroom, and we will discuss that in a future episode. But this laundry room, it's a decent size. It's 6 foot by 8 foot, so it works for a laundry room if that's all it is. And it needs some help. And it's a 1999 special with golden cabinets and linoleum, and it's just suffering.
Tell me how you really feel.
That's how I really feel about it.
About the room.
I'm ready to get this one done. I am so ready to get this one done.
So?
So what I did was I thought, well, this room is pretty much going to be a gut job. So sometimes for me personally, that's a more difficult challenge than if I have to work with a certain parameter. Like, say, all the cabinets are going to stay and I have to work with that. That gives me a starting point so I know what I can and can't do in there. But if I can take it down to sheetrock and go at it, then I've got too many options. So what I did is I came up with 5 different laundry room designs, and I like them all, and they're all very different. And I thought, what a teachable moment in discussing the different elements of these designs and what makes them the design that they are and why they have that feel.
And when you played with these different design elements and everything, did you come up with stuff that almost influenced your original design going, oh, well, when I saw that, maybe I could work that in this way or that way just by seeing different ideas?
The ones that I came up with or the ones when I was researching?
Well, both.
I came up with so many ideas from, you know, I liked one thing from a picture here or a picture there that I knew basically the parameters of what I wanted in the room as far as I wanted a dedicated folding space and I need a hanging space. So I saw little things, you know, from different pins that I really liked about that. But then there's like 1,000 different ways to do those things. So I was still kind of stuck. So I thought, I'm just going to go at this like it's not my laundry room. Like I'm given this room to do for somebody else and come up with 5 different designs. And that really helped me take me out of the equation. And then I was surprised at the end which one I picked.
It's like you almost have to kind of narrow in on which elements are really important.
Yes.
And figure out ways of making those work, not just adding in a bunch of neat things that you see along the way.
Right.
It's like me in a buffet.
You'll come back with Chinese and prime rib. And
I cannot make a good buffet plate to save my life. Like, I will go up there, like, ooh, that looks it. And it's just this, like, cornucopia of randomness. And I pick at everything a little bit. And then I just, like, okay, I'm done. But if I'm making a dish and I'm plating the plate, I can plate it really nice and really professionally, and it looks like something that came out of a high-end restaurant. But I'm limiting myself, though. I know I only have this ingredient, that ingredient, and the other ingredient.
Right.
And I have a couple things here I can use to kind of spruce it up, but I'm much more limited. I'm not just like, here's everything. It's kind of that sort of a concept.
It is, very much. That sometimes your most creative moments come when you were the most constricted.
Yeah. And I think that helps.
Yeah, it does help.
So, should we go into our first? Which one do you want to look at first here?
Let's save this one for last.
Okay.
So let's go to the first one that you have up.
Okay.
And it is what I consider a modern take on a traditional laundry room.
Okay.
So with that, I left the cabinets, all uppers and lowers, and had front load laundry. Okay, there's my picture. Front load washer and dryers so I could have a folding station on top. What I did, I painted the walls kind of a moody, almost slate blue, used white marble as the backsplash, and used white marble as the folding top. And then there's also a utility sink in there, so the marble carries around the sink. Now, and I say marble, it's not really marble. It is a marble look product. So I may consider using, you know, a marble look tile on the backsplash and maybe a quartz or some sort of recycled product that's actually not marble, because marble will absorb stains really bad. But I wanted that look. And then the floor is also a white tile. So you've got this really dark coffee-colored, Java-covered, colored cabinetry with the light wall behind everything and the light floor, and then this really great moody blue with gold accents. I used kind of the brushed gold hardware on this one. Mm-hmm. So I tried to incorporate kind of elements of very traditional design, in that this is probably the one that's going to not age the fastest. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's going to stay in style probably the longest of all these other designs.
There's a lot of elements of here that are kind of classic, and right. That you are, I mean, some, I could even look at this and go, there's some 60s elements in there. There's some,
right.
You know, almost from several different places. Some of the more ones that stand out would be almost kind of some of the art that you put into there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other stuff, not so, I mean, it really is a lot of timeless pieces in here.
And this is a good option for somebody who's like, I don't ever want to remodel anything ever again. Mm-hmm. It's going to age very, very well.
Yeah.
So that was my first one. This one is, I think I called it the...
Traditional.
The traditional, yes.
The traditional. And I should note that all of the things you used, you listed them all, and they're up on the website at confusedroom.com.
And it's not a complete like source list where it tells you where to buy these mm-hmm. things. It just gives you a list of each element that was used in this design. So it's a great way to see, kind of comparing one design versus another. Okay, so maybe if the floors are darker, it lends itself more this way versus lighter that way.
Sure. I like it. I like the this is marble in the back, correct?
Yeah, marble or a marble look product.
Sure. Yeah. It's timeless. I like it.
That was my goal. So there's that one.
That would be the traditional. All right. So our last one that we're going to do is going to be the one that we are actually going to do, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So our next one that we have here on the list, it looks like this is the Scandinavian.
This is the Scandinavian.
This is what she calls the Anna and Elsa bathroom.
No,
actually.
I didn't call this it. And it's a laundry room. If you use the bathroom laundry room, in there, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
Okay. So thinking of Scandinavian design, everybody automatically in America starts to think of IKEA. But I went with using this as an option because nobody does rooms that don't get a lot of natural light better than Scandinavians, because they mm-hmm. do not get a lot of natural light for most of the year. So their elements are very light and airy. So a lot of really almost pickled or bleached wood with white walls, very modern and sleek cabinetry. It's a slab door is what you would call the cabinet door. It has no recessed, mm-hmm. no knobs or anything. And I, again, used a kind of marble look tile on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I did open shelving, took the sink out, and I actually stacked the washer and dryer in this design so I had ample space for the folding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very simple. And for me, if I'm considering this as an actual design for my home, I need at least a little color. So I added some greenery, but I also incorporated a little bit of blue, which is a pretty traditional color.
Mm-hmm.
In Scandinavian culture, with a rug that is pretty traditional style, what you would find in Scandinavian designs.
Are you Scandinavian at all? Is there any?
No, I'm not. Okay. But I did a very simple pendant light that is actually, it looks like a warehouse light, but it's a shade of blue. And then in the rug, it's mostly cream colored with some blue striping. It almost kind of lends itself to look kind of like a tribal print, but it's not a tribal print. And that's all that's really in this room. There is a hanging bar. And all the designs I do, any design that I do, I do plan on having some sort of hanging bar, but I was limited on how to incorporate that into the actual mm-hmm. picture for the show.
I like the blue lamp.
Yeah.
I like how you did work some blue into there. I do have the Scandinavian in me.
I know you do, and I wondered what you thought of this. Is it too sterile?
Makes me feel of the homeland.
Really?
The homeland that I never have been to, and I've never, I mean, I'm Norwegian, so we're close enough. But
well, that is part of Scandinavia.
I have no idea. I've never been there. I guess the closest to Scandinavian efficiency that I've ever seen is non-existent. I mean, seriously, having ancestry there, is that more of a modern thing, the Uber efficiency with everything? I mean, we're talking several generations. And it was my great grandparents, I believe, who were from there.
Okay.
Originally.
And I don't know. I don't know the history. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the design to me looks very mid-century modern, and I'm wondering if that's when that design really started to take off.
Sure.
Because I can't imagine having this sort of design, turn of the last century.
Yeah, I can't imagine there was a lot of IKEAs.
And this would, I just use that as an example because that's something people can reference and kind of
it
understand.
Is. Well, that's today's
that look.
How it feels and all that. I just remember having a lot of, Scandinavian type pictures and stuff on my grandma's wall and stuff like that. It's an interesting thing. I never really thought of that, of just how the efficiency thing is today when you think of that culture. Wasn't even a thought, I guess, even in the 80s for the most part. I think that's more of a current type modern thing. Maybe I'm completely off, but
I would think it's probably fairly modern. I mean, the design itself looks fairly modern, and I just love the lightness of it. And I thought, a windowless room, what better to do than that?
Yeah, and a great room to actually age your lutefisk as well, if you want to. You can put it in the dark room there.
That's
Would you ever eat lutefisk?
No.
If given
it's
the
jello
opportunity?
Fish. I'm not going to eat that.
It's not jello fish.
You basically turn it into a jelly substance. I'm not going to eat a jellied fish.
It's kind of,
that's gross.
It's fish that is soaked in lye, which is a toxic chemical.
Yeah.
And then it's all rinsed out, because that makes it better. And then you basically boil it. And then you drench it in butter. So essentially, you just kind of have this sponge of a fish that's a vehicle for butter. But it smells, I guess, like death.
Yeah.
So
I'm not doing that.
Good eating. We could even have if we did this room, we could have a little lutefisk meal in the bathroom, in the laundry room.
It's not a bathroom.
I know. I just keep saying bathroom. We've had bathrooms on the show the past couple of weeks, so it's stuck in my head. but yes, in the laundry room, we could all sit in there, compact together.
Okay.
Very efficiently eating our fish.
So just for that reason, this design's probably not on
it's
the
out.
Short list.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So, but I do like it. Looks a touch Roman, except for the rug, says Dave.
Okay.
I could see that kind of.
Yeah.
In some of that. Yeah.
I've never really looked at Roman design. That would be interesting to check out.
Yeah, I can see that. Next one that we have up here would be...
It looks like the modern industrial.
Modern industrial... room. It's our video is right here.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, same laundry room, different story. I left the walls white, but I incorporated some wood elements to kind of give it that kind of modern industrial feel, which is what I was going for. It's like a reclaimed wood wall that I used as a backsplash from the top of the countertop all the way to the ceiling. And I did open shelving on this one and incorporated some wire baskets. The open shelving, I actually saw some online that were made out of galvanized metal, and I thought that was pretty cool. They were floating shelves, so I incorporated that. I used quartz or a hard surface that's not natural in this, so that it kind of has the properties of, more industrial, not organic.
Okay.
And... In this, I also included the washer and dryer. I went with a shade of stainless steel so that it's not just a pop of white against all this.
Sure.
Okay, and on the other wall behind where all this is, it just seems so barren and empty. So I did a brick paneling where it's all painted white. So it looks like it's a brick wall that's been painted, but it just gives some texture so it's not quite so empty. And used an industrial light. It's a cage light as the light fixture in there. And there's that window that we love, the mirrored window.
Yeah.
So I thought it was, for me, I thought it was more sterile than the Scandinavian one.
More sterile as in
kind of cold and not where I want to stand and fold laundry.
I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I mean, with the wood elements, kind of warm it up a little bit. I get what you're saying. I would say probably the stainless steel is what
could be
what pushes it into that area. But I could see this being a really good design, especially for like a loft type, you know, an apartment laundry area. And it wouldn't be hard to, in like one of those giant studio lofts, to, you know, if you want a laundry area that isn't just completely exposed as a lot of those areas are, to prop a little wall up easily and kind of create something like this.
Sure.
With that, you would have the advantage of you could make it a little bit larger in space than what we're working with as well. But I could see this flowing really well in that sort of an environment.
It doesn't feel like the rest of our house.
So no.
For me, it's out, but I wanted to put it together and show because I know that's very much the taste of some people. Industrial is still very big right now.
Diana says, oh, this is my favorite.
Okay.
Dave says, I like the lighting in the industrial room. I like the industrial lighting, too.
I do, too.
I think it really kind of, I like the personality of the industrial lighting. I wonder if that's going to be, is that going to be something, I know it's kind of a trendy thing right now. Is that going to be something that I am going to look at, me personally, you think, in 15, 20 years from now and go, I don't know why I liked that. Or are these things where it's like, they just kind of stick with you. Everyone else, a lot of other folks will move on. But if it's something that really speaks to you, do those things that speak to you tend to stay? Do you have anything that you liked design-wise from 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago in that range that you just thought was awesome? You thought, I'm going to like this forever. And now today you're like, eh. Or.
Okay.
Or. You felt that way, still feel that way, and the rest of the world has moved on.
Early 2000s-ish, red tones were huge in design.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get enough of it. And then I decided after I had read everything that I was sick of red because it's a very aggressive and a warm color and it's not very comforting. And I need a space that's going to be kind of relaxing and comforting. So I need calming colors or soothing or neutrals, but not red. Red's just like screaming at me
all the
time.
What type of red are you talking about? Are you talking about like fire engine red, or are you talking about kind of the more warmer maroon type reds?
I had the whole gamut. So in one part of my house, I had a sofa that we actually had ordered that was, you know, as red as a tomato, fire engine red.
Wow.
And it was the focal point of that room. It was a big sectional, and I did neutral colors around so it balanced. But then, like in other parts of the house, I used more of the kind of darker, not quite maroon, because maroon has a little more purple in it, but almost the kind of like sun-dried tomato color.
Okay.
So I loved it, but then it got to be where it's like constant. It just was too much energy, I felt like. So that was one thing that I did that I wouldn't probably do again. That's why there's really no red in our house.
I think that was systemic of the 90s Italian craze, where everyone wanted to feel like their house was another room of the Olive Garden.
Yeah, you know, with the jars of the food and the oil that was every model home had, like, three jars on their counter. And then you had all these, like, pictures of Italian villas and vineyards and things.
Like little chef people. And
right.
Yeah. And I think the red was the
trend. It
was the transition out of it. It was everybody with their kind of rustic Tuscan textured walls that were badly sponge painted. And then like every jar of oiled peppers and stuff on the kitchen counter that you never used, but it was for display. And then eventually the red transitioned out as well. And then what did it move into after that? What was the progression out of that? Cause I can see how the red came out of that.
Okay. Well, from the red, then we kind of went into the phase where like the burnt orange, teal, and mustard color palette came in.
These are not shocking changes if you really look back on it.
Yeah.
It's like a rainbow. You know,
it is.
It's like it just kind of slowly. You don't go from like that to like blue. It's very.
But the introduction of the teal kind of was the gateway to now we're seeing. You know, we skipped all color and went to gray and beige, and now we're kind of going back and we're picking up with blue.
Sure.
So I hated red. I still hate red. But I think one of the things that I did probably in that time frame that I still love is I started doing wainscotings and different types of wall treatments to break up tall walls. Yeah. And I still do that. That's still one of my go-tos.
Sure. And I really like that a lot. I do like the reds still in. I think they have a place.
They do.
But I get how you were burned out on them. And they have a place in the right setting.
They do. I would use them more like the bar for the ghost show.
Sure.
It's kind of a go-to, that room, for that kind of environment.
Yeah.
Not my kitchen's red and I can't avoid it.
Sure. Sure. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting with the reds. And that's an interesting just thought process of the transition. I'd like to explore that more because that's interesting to think about of how it's moved. Let's continue on with another one of our spaces here. This is our last one. We're going to go to this one here, right?
Right.
Okay, this is the farmhouse.
This is the farmhouse, and I think everybody probably knows what I'm going to say here.
Shiplap?
Shiplap. It's very much your traditional farmhouse laundry room in the sense that it's what you would expect when you turn on HGTV and you see a laundry room in a farmhouse styled home. So you've got shiplap on all the walls, including where the backsplash goes, butcher block countertops in a dark stain serving as your folding station. And there are upper cabinets in this space. You could do open shelving, but I did the cabinets, but I did glass doors. It did incorporate a white farmhouse sink and a brick paver floor with a jute rug because brick paver floor is going to be cold to stand on. And of course, what farmhouse room is complete without your cliche
cow portrait?
Cow picture, which I love cow pictures. So, but I know it's cliche, but I did it anyway.
Would this be a painting of a cow, or is this? Would you consider this? Someone went up to the cow and got it to pose with a selfie. You know, like almost said, "Here's a selfie stick, cow. Reach out and take a picture."
In a larger version of this room, it is a painting because you could see the brush strokes right here. It just looks like a picture.
It is cow art.
Cow art
at its finest. What draws you to the cow art? I guess I have to ask you that.
I have no idea. Maybe it's because I love longhorns. Being from Texas,
not a longhorn.
No, it's not a longhorn because I couldn't find a good picture of a longhorn.
Okay, you tried.
Yeah, and you can't get a good close-up of a longhorn and see the horns. So,
Jenny,
you know,
tried.
You have to be a distance away. But I just liked this particular cow, so I thought he made the cut.
You always gravitate to the animal photos like this, though, at like the home stores.
I do.
I don't understand it.
I just love it.
And they're kind of... Go ahead.
I especially love the ones where it's like the cow, but it's done in all different colors that you don't expect. Mm-hmm. But then you stand back and you see it's a cow.
Yeah.
It's cute. That is.
I don't get the animal pictures. I mean, you know the ones I do. You did get to do some really fun ones in the kids' homework study room.
Yeah,
those I like. Those I think were fun. Those I consider different though than the cow picture.
What are you talking about?
The funny squirrels and stuff.
Oh, when I painted that mural and I put a squirrel in the tree and everything.
No, I'm talking the ones that are down here.
Oh yes, okay.
That was like on episode, I don't know, 10 or something.
Yeah, in the homework room where. Yeah. They have, like, they're holding donuts and wearing glasses.
Yeah, that I like.
It's funny.
These are almost like, it's a serious cow picture.
It's just, I like the colors of that one.
Okay.
So, it brought some of the brown tones up and incorporated some blue. So, that's kind of what I was going for with that.
It's an interesting, there's a lot of people who like these. And so, I'm just trying to understand it. I mean, everybody has their tastes.
Yeah.
I just... I mean, to me, the thing I always think of when I see the animal pictures like this, whether it's a goat or a cow or whatever, the painted ones, the actual photographs, I think are kind of funny. Like sometimes there's like a goat just kind of looking strange or so. The painted ones like this, where they're kind of so much dramatic, I think of the episode of Frasier where Frasier's dad brought home the painted picture of the bull. The matador and the bull. And he's like, I don't know how to tell my dad I hate this. It's a big thing. I mean, you see him everywhere. It's not like this is like Jenny's weird opinion.
It's part of the whole farmhouse.
It's movement. Part of the thing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's as farm as it gets.
Stacy says Jenny's spirit animal.
My cow, yes.
Jackie says farmer and his wife with a pitchfork.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
That's a good one, too.
I like the one that comes out around Halloween at the Halloween stores where you look at it in the strange angle and they turn into zombies.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Those are fun. Love the glass door cabinet in this one.
I still love shiplap, but I am kind of getting tired of that look.
Shiplap?
No, not of the shiplap, but of the all white cabinets and everything. I think I need more color than that.
Sure.
You know, that's just my personal taste. 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been all about it. I would have been, that's my laundry room. But I think now, since we've started incorporating so much more color, that I just love that. So,
do you think shiplap's on its way out?
It probably is, but not at our house.
That's what Burt Reynolds said one day, too. Do you think all this paneling's on its way out? That is, but not at this ranch.
We've never explained that. We have no idea if Burt Reynolds ever put paneling in his house, but I saw a basement one time, and it just looked like it was from the Smokey and the Bandit era, so I just said it looked like Burt Reynolds' basement.
There is a YouTube episode, and I don't remember who. I don't know if Adam the Woo did it or who did it, where somebody goes to what was Burt Reynolds' ranch. Or in the woods, I mean, it's not really a ranch, it's like in the woods, or former estate. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of sitting there rotting away. Mm-hmm. And they kind of do some exploring and everything in there. I honestly, it's been years since I've seen it, I couldn't tell you if there was paneling in there. But the vague recollection, and I could be completely wrong, is that. Yes, it did very much have a feel to the way the way you describe how you envision Burt Reynolds living circa 1978.
Yeah.
But it's out there. It's one of those fine abandoned places that folks tend to find. That's my junk food of YouTube. And it's rare that I just have like no time to do anything. But if I just, like, need, like, a few minutes just to kind of, like, zone out, I'll look for... I love the videos on YouTube of people just exploring abandoned places.
Okay.
It's interesting. What's interesting about it is I love seeing the architecture of old buildings that are no longer...
Yeah.
Because it's a snapshot in time of a different era. And I think that's what I really like about it. It's not like it's something where we're trying to replicate this from a picture or something like that. It's especially things more detailed than Burt Reynolds' house, but more like Detroit or really old buildings that are just still there, untouched, time has worn them away. But it's a really neat way to see, oh, that's how that was kind of laid out, and that's how that was designed, or that's how the architecture in the room was. It's not someone else's modern take on it. And that's what I think I really like most about those, is just kind of that snapshot in time that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Should we go to our last one here?
Let's go to our last one.
This is actually what we're going to do. And then on a future episode, we'll show you really before and after of how we did it.
Yes.
And that's a few episodes away. But this is the design.
And it is a transitional design, which means it incorporates a little bit of a lot of different styles. And I'm calling it Classic Coastal Cottage. So In our laundry room, we are going to do a wainscoting of board and batten up about 4 feet and then do a row of tile that's kind of in a sea glass color along the top with a cap on it. I'm going to incorporate a mirror towards the end and then navy on the walls from the top of the tile all the way to the ceiling. The lower cabinet where the sink is, because the sink's going to stay, is going to be navy as well. And I'm going to upgrade to a stainless steel sink, so no more of that nasty white one that's stained with God knows what. White, but kind of a bleached wide plank floor like we saw in the Scandinavian design. Mm-hmm. I liked the open shelving of the industrial design, but we're going to do that to match the butcher block that we're going to use for the countertop. And the butcher block's going to be kind of oxidized, so it's going to take on a weathered gray look. And I already have the baskets that I'm using. I got some water hyacinth baskets that work great for laundry for each of us. And I need a place to store them. So that's the purpose of those shelves. And there will be a hanging rod over the sink for hanging things to dry and or after they come out of the dryer. But I am really happy with this because it feels like the rest of our house. Mm-hmm. So this to me just... this was the one, and you helped me on this design. There was elements of it that you brought forward and said, let's try navy on the walls and on the cabinet. Mm-hmm. And we tweaked it a little bit, and this is what we're going to do.
Because I think originally you had navy on the shelving, didn't you?
I had navy on the shelving, but not on the walls.
Okay.
And I like that since we are doing white more than halfway up the wall, that we can incorporate a darker color above without it making mm-hmm. the room feel cavernous.
Sure.
Oh, and the backsplash I didn't mention is going to be the entire wall of subway tile from the top of the countertop to the ceiling. And I'm really not looking forward to doing that part of the project, but it's going to be awesome when it's done.
It'll look really good.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever done reclaimed subway tile from a subway?
There's
a good question.
I know that taking tile out of old homes and old buildings, mm-hmm. you can buy that at Architectural Salvage.
Sure.
And a lot of times, if it came off okay, which is kind of a miracle in itself,
yeah.
it will last forever because they made tile a lot thicker, mm-hmm. you know, pre-1960, whatever, when they started making it the thin tile that we know now mm-hmm. as far as your traditional subway tile.
Sure. The baskets look like the ones at Pottery Barn, says Dave.
They are not Pottery Barn, but they are and look like Pottery Barn.
I weaved them in the corner.
No.
That's gorgeous.
Thank you.
The color, says Diana. Jackie says that's my favorite. Is that subway tile? Yes.
It is subway tile. And I like subway tile. I feel like it's probably on the way out as far as its trendiness. But how long has subway tile been around? So it's still going to come back around again. It's not like it's a hideous color that everybody's going to hate. You know, I think white is classic. So I'm just going to stick with what I like.
I don't think subway tile ever has gone out.
Well, as far as using it in homes, like... when you had the option of buying travertine or subway tile and mm-hmm. people started opting for subway tile, mm-hmm. that's kind of been a newer thing.
Okay.
Because it's always been an option for, like, you know, the hall bath to do around the tub or something.
Sure.
But as far as a focal point like this, a whole wall of it.
I see what you're saying.
That's been fairly recent.
But being used as an element in homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been around for a long time, but as far as, like I said, being your front and center, mm-hmm. oh, I love the subway tile, said no one before 1999.
Mm-hmm. iRock says, I thought you meant subway restaurant. Huh. That would be quite a home element. Do you remember the subway restaurants of the 90s and their wallpaper?
Yeah, it was like newspaper.
Yes,
I do remember that. Or maps? Was it maps? It was subway maps.
It was a combination. I think uh-huh. it was subway maps. It was newspaper, and I think it was all just kind of meshed together in this kind of hodgepodge of stuff. Now, that would be something to get your hands on is a roll of Subway restaurant wallpaper circa 1995.
Do you remember when people were putting in the newspaper wallpaper? Like all the time?
Yeah.
I saw that on something recently and I thought, that just looks so, to me, dated, because I can remember being little and seeing that in somebody's house and thinking that was cool.
I never saw it in anyone's house.
I did, yeah. And I thought it was neat, and I tried to read it, and it was like the same thing repeated. And it was like, this is dumb.
I suppose you could decoupage, like, real newspapers on someone's wall and kind of get that same effect.
And, you know, if you're going for a beautiful mind motif, there you go.
That'd be great. Like, in a restroom, you just have to make sure it's all different newspapers, but you get newspapers where it's just, like, tragic days in history. But you avoid, like, the pictures. Mm-hmm. So it does, it, like, he's walking, like, oh my gosh, look at this.
Do you remember that movie where he had all the newspaper clippings?
Yes, exactly.
but you would have all the tragedies.
It would be all tragedies, but you would have to actually read it to realize it, because I wouldn't have the headlines and I wouldn't have any images. It would just be all text everywhere, just small print. And then when you're sitting down and you're like, you know, you're sitting there in the restroom and you're like, oh, let's read a little bit. It's like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. Oh my God, I forgot. It's like every little square is a different horrible day in history. I don't know, you'd call it like the most depressing restroom in history.
And I thought red was irritating.
I think I beat that.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Saddest room ever.
Yes.
I rock. We don't have Subways down here, so I was confused. Subway restaurants are disgusting.
They're not my favorite. It's kind of a on road trips only if there's nothing else around.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan, but in a pinch where it's like that, where I can actually get some substance of food versus another fast food restaurant. Like the other day, trying to eat really healthy, trying to stick to...
We both are.
We both are. And I'm trying to stick to cutting out fast food as much as humanly possible. But other night, me and Harper were out doing a little shopping, and we didn't have a whole lot of time for dinner, but there was a Subway nearby, and it's like, it's that or like McDonald's or Hardee's or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I know I can get something that will fill me up at Subway. It's not going to be my favorite, but I can actually eat it and it's not going to be horrible for me. So I did that and it was okay. The next night, she had dance class and I had, like I said, been avoiding fast food forever, but I think as a kid, it's fine. Go get your happy meal. It was a happy memory for me as a kid.
But like, not all the time.
Not all the time. But so it had been like a long time, like months since she's had one. And she's like, can we get a happy meal? And, you know, pig eyes, orange hair, and a little bow. Yes, honey, we can get a happy meal. So I got her happy meal. And at first I was like, I'm not going to get anything. But I was hungry and I didn't have anything for a while. I'm like, so I'm like scanning the calories on my phone of like what options exist here. And even like the salads are high. And surprisingly, one of the lower options was the 6-piece McNugget. I got the McNugget and I was hungry the rest of the night. Yeah. So it was like, kind of like, well, yeah. So, yeah,
I've just gotten used to not having it since we've been doing this the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So my system can't really handle it now.
My stomach was upset afterwards. Yeah. I mean, it realized you put crap in you. And the crap came out pretty quick too.
That's why I need to make sure you know that's a laundry room and not a bathroom.
Well, see, it's an emergency bathroom. There's a sink there.
Shart zone.
Sure. Put a big sign on the door. That'd be really appropriate for how nice it looks, Tim. Shart. Is it in your design, the shart zone sign on the door?
No.
Okay. No.
Should we end it now?
Yeah, now that we've gotten to the tangent of Subway and fast food. I used to have pine wood pieces from a platform bed, cut the fibers connecting them, and used it to paint on and make big signs for friends. Great solid pieces and free.
That's cool.
Says I rock. All right.
That's very cool.
Okay. Call it the crying room.
Yeah.
Magnolia sells a newspaper wallpaper now, says Taj.
That might be where I saw it. And I am kind of liking the wallpaper trend, but I just don't think I can do the the newspaper wallpaper.
Even if Joanna Gaines says it's a good thing?
Even if, yes.
Even if she...
That's why there's several different wallpapers, so you can choose the one you like.
You did get her book yesterday,
You brought it home to me.
Yeah.
You surprised me with it.
The cookbook is what we're talking about.
Like three things in there that we can make right now.
That are remotely healthy.
But it gave me a lot of good ideas, and maybe we can make them healthier versions.
I think there's adaptations that can be done to a lot of the recipes to make them healthier.
But it looks good.
And really, overall, good book for a cookbook.
It's approachable. It is. I'm not the chef in our family. He is. He makes anything beyond mac and cheese and heating up soup. So
you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the cookbook I really like, the Michael Chiarello At Home cookbook that I like, that is about, you know, 12, 13 years old now. But it was based on his show Easy Entertaining from Food Network from way back when. But it was like kind of more current recipes, mm-hmm. Not so Italian based, but I was like, I like a lot of these. I enjoyed the book, but I'm going to explore it more and try and see if I can do it in any healthier way.
Yeah, do that.
Less
for
butter.
Me.
Less.
It all looks great.
It does. It's an interesting book. We're not being paid to endorse it, but it does look like a pretty good book. So there you go. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Confused Room. See all the designs, see everything we just talked about. Go to the website, confusedroom.com. Press subscribe on the podcast. Help us grow this thing. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening to another episode of Confused Room.